There we go, that's big news. And in many senses, here's the question and answer, just in case you've got questions. One of these will be with hosting team at the back, and you can grab one of these at the back. So hopefully that will answer any questions that you've got. Also, while I'm on about, if you've not done your survey of how, as we continue to grow, your preference of how you want church potentially to look, we would ask you to fill out that today, because today will be the closing date, and then we can review what's going on, what's happening, what the preferences are, and then build from there. So just in reference to the video that we've just seen, with Pastor Andy and Gina moving on, they won't necessarily be moving to America straight away, or it may not even ever happen, but that's where half their family are, so there's a possibility that that could be somewhere down the line. But with Pastor Stu and Carla, as an eldership team, we really felt that it was the next right move for Stu and Carla. Like Pastor Andy said, they've journeyed with the church for so many years, and they have a real heart for every congregation, and it just made complete sense to see the call of God upon his life and then to position him and Carla into that new role. So we're celebrating the move for Pastor Andy and we're Pastor Andy and Gina, and we're also celebrating the next move for Stu and Carla as a couple. So exciting times ahead. So let's focus on this morning. And if you've got any questions, feel free to come and ask me, and I'll see if I can answer those. You know, I may just refer you straight to the book. It's in the book, not this book, but that book, and we'll see what we can do. Okay, over the last couple of weeks, Camille and Isaac have been holding the fort and preaching the word, specifically about the four pillars of the New Testament church that we see very clearly in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that the church would be built on the apostles' doctrine, on fellowship, on prayer, and the breaking of bread. And I think the revelation of those four areas are so important for us as a Bible-believing church, that actually the apostles' doctrine, what is written in God's word, is absolutely so important. And that we receive it, we imbibe it, we live it out of our lives. That is so important. The apostles' doctrine is not going to be changed because we live in a modern society. You know, the world around us would say, oh, you've got to change your view because it's the 21st century. No, the Bible is God's word. It upholds truth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word remains true. So as a church, we are going to remain true to the apostles' doctrine. Isaac last week spoke on fellowship and how important connection is. And I believe it in the last days, according to Hebrews chapter 10, it says in the last days, connection or being the church or coming together as a gathering is so, so important. Are you preaching? My little preaching friend. So in the last days, it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day of his return coming. I tell you what, if we may be living in those days, let's make sure there is good connection in God's house, that we are in a connect group. We would love to see everybody in the room in a connect group. We would love to see more connect groups open, because most of those that are open are at capacity. So what we need is more connect group leaders and homes saying, you can come to my house, we've got room to have more people. We want you to feel connected. You know, someone said to me not so long ago, you know, I just feel like I'm just a person in a large room with lots of people. But you won't feel that if you become part of a connect group. I can see different connect groups and people that are in them who really feel close to those people that they can open up, they can be real, they can pray for one another, they can eat and do communion with each other, and there is a closeness. We want all of you to feel that. So therefore, we need more connect groups. And this morning, I'm not going to go on to the next one. I'm going to talk about prayer next week. I'm going to talk about devoted to the journey. In many senses, where Pastor Andy's moving on and Pastor Stu's moving in, and there's a lot of changes going on and around the structure of Family Church right now, there is a journey going on. And we've got to be devoted to the journey that is set before us. You know, whether it's the journey personally or the journey collectively, let's be devoted. I tell you, let's be devoted to God, number one. Let's be devoted to his house. Jesus said, I will build my house, the church. Let's have a total, complete devotion to God's house. You know, there's some people who say, oh, I can meet from house to house and meet with my friends, and that's church. No, the Bible in Acts says they met together from home, from house to house, and they met together in the temple court, collectively. And I just really want to encourage both in this house. It's not an either-or policy. We want both happening. So we can do big church, and we can celebrate together, but we do small church within our collective connect group areas. Within the house of God, or within the kingdom of God, there has got to be a flow. If you read in, I think it's, I didn't check this out. I think it's Ezekiel, where the river of God comes out, and the flow, wherever it goes, the river of God brings life. There is always a flow. In the kingdom of God, there is a flow to our journey, to our walk with him, to our experience in God. There's got to be a flow. The moment we become Dead Sea people is the moment we dry up and die out. There's got to be a spirit of life flowing through us. We're not Dead Sea people. We are Jordan people. We allow the river of God, the flow of God in our life. We want the Holy Spirit to fill our lives so that there's a flow. We don't want a one-time experience of Holy Spirit in our life. We want there to be a constant flow of who he is in us, that we are renewed and refreshed day by day. So there's got to be a constant flow in the kingdom of God and in our heart, where we experience times of refreshing in the presence of God. You know, let's not look back to the day we got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's not look back to an experience. But there are times of refreshing. I don't know when the last time you stood in the presence of God, maybe on your own, and you just began to worship and you said, Lord, fill me today afresh. Holy Spirit, let the flow of your Spirit refresh me today. Come on, let's make that a part of our prayer on a regular basis. Times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. You know, maybe it's your shower moment every day. If you shower every day, that is. in the shower, just lift up your hands. Just worship in the shower. Worship in your car. Worship in the lift, whatever. But I tell you what, we need to connect. Because there are too many Christians who are going about and they're not plugged in to the things of God. They're not plugged in to the things of the Spirit. They're not plugged in to all that God wants for their life. They're walking around their daily life just doing natural things, but being a spiritual person. We've got to be walking around our daily life plugged into the Holy Spirit and saying, here I am, use me. Can you imagine what this world would be like if every Christian stood up and said, here I am, use me. Not, I hope no one knows I'm a Christian in this place. Here I am, use me. What a difference we would make. What a world we could turn around. The way we follow Jesus reveals something about your devotion. Because I will follow Jane to the ends of the earth. Because we will walk together. Because we are devoted to one another. How devoted are we to the one who gave his life for us? Come on, these are some important questions we need to ask ourselves. Or else would you just do normal Christianity for the rest of our life? I don't want normal Christianity. Well, normal Christianity is what we do want, isn't it? Because if we're Christ-like, if we are living, carrying our cross in our daily life, I tell you what, our lives would so shine. Everywhere we go, people would be alerted. Those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. But the problem is we don't live normal Christian lives. We live subnormal. Including me, I'm not just pointing the finger at you. I think we all live subnormal Christian lives. Because if we really knew that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, and the same things that Jesus said I could do that he did, we're living subnormal Christian lives. The works that I do, you will do also. All right? When was the last time we went and saw someone in a hospital and we laid hands on them and they recovered? When was the last time we were walking down the street and the shadow of our being touched and ministered to people along the way? Come on, we've got to stir up the Spirit of God within us and live out the life that he said we can. But I believe it comes down to our level of devotion. I reckon the level of our devotion to him, to his house, to his people, to his cause. See, are we devoted to the cause of Christ? Are we devoted to the purposes of God in our generation? Are we devoted to the Great Commission? Come on, all these things let me do a scale. If for you as an individual, right, how devoted are you to getting the message of the kingdom through the gospel of Jesus Christ out to a lost world in a percentage between 0 and 100% committed to that cause? Think about it in your heart. Are you a 10%? Well, if push really came to shove and someone was dying, I'd share the gospel with them. Or 100%, you're out there just sharing your faith constantly. We are all somewhere on that scale. Are we devoted to God's house? 0, 100%. Come on, I'm challenging you today. You're not going to ever be in a church where you don't get challenged, because I want to grow you. I want to grow me. And I'm just preaching a nice soft message is never going to grow anyone. I want to challenge your thinking. Where are you in your devotion to God's house? 0 to 100%. Where are you devoted in your giving? Now I'm really treading on toes. There you go. Are you just about giving? You're tipping God as you go? Or are you 100% devoted in giving to God? Serving God's house, are you a 0 or are you 100%? Come on, you, every area. Are you, as a worshiper, because we're all worshippers at heart, when it comes to worship, are you a 5 or a 10 or a 15, or are you 100% devoted in worship to God? Because only you can answer and only I can answer where I'm at. But I think this devotion is so key to our life. Devoted to the journey, devoted to the cause, devoted to the purpose for which we're alive. Throughout the Bible, you can see individuals that saw their call and lived out their purpose in their life. I want to be one of those. I hadn't thought about this until this morning in my office, but Charlie Kirk was one of those. He was one of those individuals who said, no matter what or who, I'm going to declare who God is. He wasn't a 50-50 man. He was 100% of declaring who God was in the lives of others. Whether you like Charlie Kirk or whether you don't, he was passionate about what he believed. That causes me to examine my heart. Where am I at? Where are we at? What difference could we make if we chose to be fully devoted, that we pick up our cross and we say goodbye to the world and here I come? We are world changers. You may look at your life and say, no, not me. Maybe you, but not me. No, no, no. We are all world changers, changing your world. I have got a responsibility to change my world. You have a responsibility to change your world. Who in your world needs to hear your voice? Louder, clearer, more intently, more passionately. Who in your world? Being devoted means aligning our priorities with Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. It's a great song, but how much is all? How much is all? All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. Jesus surrendered all. Because he looked at your life. Cherie, he looked at your life and said, she's worthy. And he died a brutal death for you. Jacques, he did it for you. He laid down his life. Gideon, he did it for you. Ruby, total devotion to you. And everyone in this room, everybody out those doors, he was so devoted to the cross that he cried out to his Father, not my will, yours be done. So our lives need to line up with his word. We need to say, Lord, not my will, but yours. I want to live according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Let your word be the guide, the guard, the protection, the direction of my life. Let your word lead me. Let it be the map to my life. Let it be the anchor to my soul. Let it be the words to my heart. Let your word be everything I need it to be, because I want to be a word person, not a world person. Living a devoted life means engaging in prayer. Do you know what? We've got a prayer evening next Sunday night. I asked how many believe in prayer, that prayer changes things. And about 50% said yes. That could have been because you didn't hear me say it. It could have been because you were shy to say something out loud. How many of us believe that prayer changes things? Yes. Now you know I'm going to turn around and say, well, why not come to the prayer meeting next week? Now that's not manipulation. It's if we believe something, we're devoted to something. The Bible says in the New Testament, they came together collectively and they prayed. Where two or three agree touching anything, it shall be done by my Father who is in heaven. I believe in the power of prayer. I want us as a church to come to that place where we say, I'm coming to the prayer meeting. That the prayer meeting is the biggest meeting, because we see prayer changes things. We have a government that needs God in the center of it right now. The country is in a mess, and it was in a mess when the Conservatives were in. The world is in a mess. If we needed God at any point in history, we need him now. We need change. We need God. We need God at the center. We need revival. Talk about a quiet revival that's hitting the nation. Well, I want it loud. I don't want just a few people coming into church. I want them to be a floodgate where they come in. But every revival that I'm aware of began with prayer. I would like to throw out a challenge right now. If you want to see revival in our land, why not come out next Sunday night as we pray for it? Anyway, his teaching, engaging in prayer, community. Challenge after challenge this morning. I'm going to get to something really exciting in a moment. How about using our talents, our time, our resources to support the kingdom of God? Do we just do it in part or do we give wholeheartedly? I look at some of our older generation, and I say this respectfully, some of our, a large majority of our older generation in this church who are over 70 are the hardest workers in the church. It's shocking but true. I want to see that reversed. I want to see our young people stepping up and saying, how can I serve? How can I help? And do you know what? They do. They will do what they see you do. The reason the older generation serves so hard is because the generation that were before them served so hard. The problem is the generation in the middle, and I'm not looking at anyone, the generation in the middle are showing their children that they don't serve and therefore their children won't serve. We got to change the kingdom culture so that we are serving the house, the body of Christ upon the earth. I'm going to get to a scripture in a minute. Here we go. Ephesians 1:23. I'm going to read it from the message because it just brings a beauty to this particular scripture. I don't use the message much, but on this particular scripture, I love it. Listen to this, and I'm going to break it down as we go. He is in charge of it all. I'm going to stop there. The world will tell you that the governments of the world are in control. They will tell you that the Illuminati are in control. They will tell you the Masons are in control. They will tell you that the financial bankers are in control and all the rest of it. Do you know what? It says here in my Bible, he is in charge of it all. Don't buy into a world view of what they've tried to make the church be. The world has tried to make the church feel insignificant, small, doesn't amount to much. But I tell you what we do. He is in charge of it all. You think of the financial systems, what's his name and Uzi Mifflips and whatever. I can't remember the names. The Rockefellers and the Hoobers and the whatevers, all right? They are not in control of the finances. He is. The world systems of our planet are not in the hands of the Illuminati or those behind the scenes of governments. It's God. When he calls time on this planet, it doesn't matter how much money you got, how much control you think you've got, when he says time up, time will be up. Because he is in control. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. If the doctor says, I'm sorry, but you're going to die, don't believe the doctor. Because he has the final say. He is a miracle-working God, amen? We do still believe in a miracle-working God, don't we, in this church? He is a miracle worker. If the bank turns around and says, I'm sorry, we're going to have to repossess your house, He who has the final say is not the banker. It is God who has the final say. And if he comes through for you, it's not because the banker said so. It's because God's ordained it to be so. I tell you, let's change our mindset. And we've been reduced and smothered by this world. It's time to lift off the lid of who we truly are and who God truly is. And then he goes on, at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. This is his church. We are not a fraction. We are his church. And so is the church that loves God down the road. And so is the church that loves God down the road. We are his church. This isn't my church. This isn't Pastor Jeff's church. This isn't Pastor Stu's church or Andy's church or family church belongs to us. No, it does not. I hold his house loosely because it's not mine. I'm not like this. I'm like this because it's his. He is the supreme ruler who Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. Who's this speaking? It's the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, revealing to Paul, Christ rules the church. The church is not peripheral to the world. We're not a little thing pushed away in a corner. We're not diminishing, we're growing. Our light is not going out. In the last days, the Bible says our light will become stronger and brighter. This is what the Holy Spirit believes about the church. We need to line up with his thinking, not our thinking. His thinking is what matters, not the world's thinking. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. We are the center for which everything else operates. We are the salt and the light of the world. When the salt and light are removed, this world will go into utter chaos because it is revolving around God, his church, and us, his people. The church is Christ's body. Look around. Come on, look around. I mean it. Look around. We are Christ's body. He's the head. This here is his body represented in this location in which he speaks and acts. There's the exciting part. We are his body where he speaks and where he acts, where he moves, where the power of God is present to heal, where miracles, signs, and wonders break out. Not because of a pastor or a leader. No, this is his church. And he says, this is my body. And this is where he says he moves and where he acts. I want to stir up your faith that whenever you come into this house, you look to God to touch you. You look to God to move on your behalf. You look to God's anointing in this place. You look to him to act and move for you. And if that means you come into us as pastors or assistant pastors or the pastoral support team and you say, could you just pray with me? Absolutely. Because I believe this is the house where God acts and he speaks. And then it finishes with this, by which he fills everything with his presence. That means every one of us in this room, you have an active participation in this journey. Marius, he fills you with his presence so that when you come into the collective body of Christ, you can be used by him. Here I am, Lord. Fill me and use me. Have I stirred something in your heart this morning? Come on, let's not be a 10% or a 20%, but let's edge towards the 70, the 80, maybe even the 90. Then you'll be one of those radicals in the church that everyone looks at and says, look at them, they're radical for Jesus. Shouldn't we all be? Isn't that really the calling of God upon our life? That these people who turn the world upside down, and you look at the Jerrys, and you look at the Sarahs, and you look at the Phils, and you say, they have turned their worlds upside down. Devoted. How devoted to the cause are you? The Apostle Paul was unwaveringly devoted to getting the gospel out to the Gentiles. But he suffered persecution. He suffered trials and imprisonments. And eventually it cost him his life. Martha. She was dedicated, devoted to wanting to bring Jesus the very best in her house, to the very point that Mary says, I'm going to sit at his feet, but Martha, I've got to do the best for him. I'm going to be busy doing this, that, and the other. And Jesus had to have a word with her and say, Martha, Martha, come and sit with me for a while. Be devoted, not in what you do, but in who you are. That's where devotion starts. It's not in what you do. It's in who you are. But we still need doers in the house of God. So let's not all be Marys. I'm just going to come down and be at your feet, Lord. Oh, lovely. I like that. Good. Please do that. But let's be doers in the house as well. Anna was devoted to witnessing with her own eyes the coming of the Messiah. And she remained in the temple from a young age when she'd lost her husband and devoted her life to waiting for the promise to come that the Messiah, that she would see with her very eyes, the Messiah when he came. She devoted her life in the house of God. I'm going to finish with this scripture because this is the flip side. The flip side, the negative side of this, is probably one of the saddest passages in the Bible. In 1 Kings 11, verse 4, it says, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God. Come on, what is it that is in our life that could cause us not to be so devoted? For him, it was his wives. Well, there was his first problem. He should have stuck the one. One's hard enough, but it's not. One is beautiful. let me get back here quick. His wives turned his heart. What do we allow in our life to turn our attention away from God? For you individually, what would cause you next week not to come along? Now, you know, in some senses, I say this flippantly. I don't care whether you come or not. I do. But I do. I genuinely do. So please come. But in the sense, for your journey, what would cause you to say, oh, I don't think I'll come. I don't think I'll go along to church this week. Because that could be the other God or the wife that's trying to take you away and not be fully devoted. What would cause you not to have that quiet time with the Lord where you have intimacy and connection with God alone in your life? Maybe it's time, maybe it's busyness, maybe it's you've got to rush off to work. But surely this, the devotion of your heart to God, there's going to be a lot of things in our lives that could drag us or draw us away from the very thing. Clearly here, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, as the heart of David his father had been. That's a warning for every one of us. What is it that could turn our heart? Where am I going to go? There we go. Jesus devoted his life. He devoted his life for you. If we knew how much he loved and loves us, if we really got a grip of his devotion to our lives, I tell you what, every one of us would go from our 20, 30 to our 70, 80 in every area of our life. I'm going to do two prayers this morning. First one, I'm going to ask, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you think, oh, well, that is such a challenging word. I'm sorry. Yes, it was. But I want you to know how much he loves you. Jesus was fully devoted to the cross so that you would come to know him. And I'm going to pray and pray a prayer that would challenge you to say yes to that call. And then after that, I'm going to pray a prayer for every one of us in this room. And that prayer will be a challenge. And I'm going to ask you to stand up if that means you're genuine about your commitment to move from wherever you are on this scale, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, and you have a genuine desire to be more fully devoted to him. So let's pray. I'm going to pray first and foremost for anybody in this room. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and today you're saying, hey, I want to receive Jesus who died for me and gave his life for me. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me this morning. Father God, I come to you now and I acknowledge that I have sinned and I've not lived up to the mark. Jesus, you died for me and you took my place. Today I give you my heart and I ask you to come into my life. I want to be born again. I receive you in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody in this room you prayed that, maybe for the very first time, maybe you're coming back to God and it's a new experience for you and you've prayed that for the very first time in this place today, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand if that was you. One, two, three. If that is you, pop up your hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Three, four people putting their hands up in the room. Is there anybody else in the room? You say, yeah, count me in. I don't want to miss this moment. I don't want to miss this moment. Thank you. I see those hands. Feel free to put them down. We're going to give you a Bible and some information after the service. Please don't leave the place without getting those first. But I want to pray for all of us in this room right now. You know your journey and you know if there was a scale. Remember, God's not judging you. This isn't about God judging you. This is about your heart response to him. Father, I pray for each one in this room. Lord, that you would clearly move afresh and anew in all of our lives. Father, that you would just cause us to experience a new walk and a new depth of devotion, a new heart of love and surrender to you. So, Father, I pray today for each and every one of us in this room that as you've challenged us through your word, Lord, we want to respond in an appropriate way. Lord, we choose to surrender and devote our lives to you. And Father, we purpose to step up, whether it's a run on a ladder or whether it's a percentage of what we do. Lord, help us this morning to fulfill our heart's desire to come closer to you in Jesus' name. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three and I'm going to say, if that's you, if you genuinely, and I mean this, genuinely want to step up in your walk with God, then to stand up and acknowledge that this morning. You will notice I'm already sat down myself. One, two, three. If that's you, stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. Right across this room, every heart, every life. Lord, may we be your mouthpiece. May we be, Lord, the provision. May we be the hands that serve. May we be all that you've called us to be. That all to Jesus we surrender. That we genuinely do take up our cross and follow you. That as we walk closer to the end of days, that the light of our life will grow brighter and stronger. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us afresh, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.